Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Smashy Business Show. I am Warit Ahmed.
And I'm Abdul Majid.
And it is the 14th of January today. We're in the middle of the week. What are you up to, Majid?
Nothing. Waiting for a weekend, as usual. I'm just kidding. It's a busy week, to be honest. A lot of things are happening. So
yeah.
It's actually every day of every year in Dubai and UAE and in the Middle East now, since it's become the hub of business. Every day something is happening.
It's crazy. Every day something is happening. And you know, we saw it in the 1 billion summit this weekend.
Concluded yesterday.
It's so insane. You know, when I honestly, Majid, I feel intense regret that I did not attend. No, really. I feel so much regret that I did not fight to go there and attend because of the fact that the videos that we saw, you know, what was his name again?
Simon Squibb.
Yeah, Simon Squibb, who won the $1 million award in the 1 billion summit. And by the way, I think he completely deserved it.
Yeah.
You know, there was actually this debate in the comment section of like, why are they giving it to a white dude? But I think that he completely deserved it. And I'm predicting this right now, Majid. Wait a week. Simon is going to make a video and be like, what's your dream? And actually give that money to somebody else. He doesn't need it. He's a multimillionaire. Yeah. And his and the way that I know that he genuinely does not need it is that his YouTube account, it has over 1 million followers.
Yeah.
And if you know YouTube and you know how monetization works on YouTube, if you're on YouTube and you have a lot of followers, you're going to make a lot of money. So it was just really nice to see him win because I actually keep up with his videos and I find them so inspiring. Yeah. I remember he helped this one girl open a bakery and it's just, honestly, I think he deserved it. Do you think he deserved it?
He deserved it or not, people decided. The votes were by people.
That's not an answer. But
no, out of the top five, there's this guy, Mahmoud Abu Zaiter. He's from Palestine. I loved his content. So on the 1 million follower page, I mean, you have like a show reel of every top five guy. And he was my favorite, to be honest. But again, whoever won, congratulations to them. Congratulations to Simon Squibb. He actually started crying.
The
emotions. Later I saw he was talking to The National and he was like, I just got over like emotions, and he's like, there's like 3 points in my life where I cried: when my son was born, when my wife said yes to marry me, and this point, because he's like, as soon as my name was announced, everyone showed so much love in that room that it was natural that tears came out.
But Majid, in itself, it was so beautiful, because imagine an award is handed to you by Sheikha Latifa, the daughter of His Highness Sheikh Mohammed.
Yeah.
That in itself, that's such an honor.
Yeah.
And on a center stage where so many of the leaders of the UAE are watching, you know,
it's a big stage.
It is.
1 billion follower summit, according to them, their own statement. And to be honest, according to numbers, the number of creators that came and the whole setup, it is one of the biggest events for content creators, specifically for content creators in the world right now. And this guy, Simon Squibb, apparently there were 16,000 entries throughout from the world, and he was the part of the top 10, then top 5. So he won out of 16,000 people. That's not a small feat. It's a very big feat.
Not whatsoever. And a lot of people voted for him.
Yeah, so there were nearly 3.3 million votes that came in, and he got the majority of them. So all the main idea that I got from 1 billion followers summit, after watching a lot of videos of content creators done by a lot of people who were there, who were interviewing whoever they could find, there's like three main lessons. One, it is an event which is going to grow and become big, and Dubai is becoming the center of the content creator economy. That's the main point that I saw. The second point was all of the content creators, their interviews, whoever they were talking to, the idea that they were saying was that this economy, this content creator economy, it is going to burst soon because there's so many content creators.
Already burst, Majid.
Yeah, no, they were like, there is going to be a correction in the market. Let's just say it's not going to burst like a bubble, but there is going to be correction where people who actually pay the money, the brands and everything, they will come to realize that every content creator who has followers is not a content creator. They'll go to people with niches, and they'll go more for engagement and comments and all that stuff.
You know, it's really interesting.
Apart from followers.
It's really interesting that you say that, because I actually saw this video from the 1 Billion Summit where one of the content creators was basically saying that now brands are actually connecting with influencers who get the most engagement from their followers, not influencers with the most followers. And I found that so interesting, because it's like, I follow a lot of influencers and there are some people with millions of followers, but mind you, they barely get any comments, nobody engages with it. And then you have like these niche follower, like these niche influencers with like 50K, and you see their comment section, and it's like people are following up with them.
And micro-influencers, they were the first thing that I think who disrupted this content creator economy. Because in the start, everyone's like, oh, 1 million followers will do a deal with them. This million followers will do a deal with them. As soon as micro-influencers, less than 100K, I would say, these guys came into the picture, and they had very, very specific niches. Like, if one person is doing Get Ready With Me, she or he will not do anything else. They will only do Get Ready With Me. So these are, they are very niche specific. And then the audience that they have is very loyal. So their engagement is like more than 100 times than the normal people who do 10 different things.
You know, this actually reminds me of something. There's this Sudanese influencer. She lives in Egypt, and she does people's makeup. She's one of my sister's friends. And my sister told me, because she was basically giving me content advice, she told me what made that Sudanese influencer stand out is the fact that basically in her TikToks, she would use like this like Egyptian music. Like this like certain aesthetic, and she said that it actually got her mentions, and she stood out in terms of branding because of something new that she did. So it's so interesting to me how, you know, if you use different sounds, if you use a different like slogan, like for example, there's this influencer, he came into Love in Dubai, he's Syrian, and you know how he starts every single one of his videos? Let's go try this out, but I'm already here. Do you like see it? It's like they change things. They change the aesthetic. They change everything. And it's and it does succeed. It does do well. I think, honestly, I think from, you know, consumers, from us who are watching, I think that, you know, there's this need for change. I think we all want to see something different. And I think with media, that's the fear. If you don't change with it, you're not going to do really well.
The thing that you said about someone starting with a sound and all that, I remember the very first good advice that I got when I went into journalism, basically writing. So the very first person who gave me a good advice was, when you write a sentence or when you write something, paragraph, essay, report, make the audience, try to like tickle all the five senses of the audience. And I was like, how do you do that with written word? You can only like read it. It's like, tell them how it smells, tell them what you hear, tell them how it feels to touch something. So when you're writing descriptively, obviously we do business news, it's less of sense tickling and more information. But the best part of writing, the best writing that you'll ever read, even like novels and anything, those people will make you smell something out of the book. They'll describe the dish or they'll describe an environment in such a way that you'll be like, okay, I can actually sense it.
You can feel it.
Yeah, that
it's
I'm
the
in
best
that room.
Storytellers.
Yeah.
It's
so
the best storytellers.
Likewise, on social media, people who are using this technique, it's a very old, very like common technique, but it's very difficult to master. To like tickle all the senses. So if you can do that, it's perfect for you.
And just on the topic of 1 Billion Summit, I truly believe that 1 Billion Summit this year, Majid, honestly, not only has it painted media this way, but it's really reaffirmed the fact that media is the new gold. And so much has come out of the summit. I mean, not just, you know, the 1 million pitches where you can win funding for your company, where you can win an award the way that Simon did, but the UAE's first Creators HQ actually launched. And this HQ, it's absolutely crazy because it's aiming to attract 10,000 influencers, and the way that it's doing it is that now influencers can apply for golden visas.
Yeah.
influencers can apply for golden visas. And I repeat this again because it's so important, because before, to get the golden visa, to obtain it, if you're not an Emirati citizen, the way that you do it is that if you purchased a home, you're a homeowner in the UAE, you've done really well academically, but now you can get a golden visa if you're a really good influencer. I think that's so interesting. And not just that, basically, as a part of its first initiative, the Creators HQ actually launched a $500K prize, which you can win if you create very exclusive content on Elon Musk's X. I find that so interesting. I find that so interesting because of the fact that if you all know X, we know X, Majid. You know, X is where you can do absolutely whatever you want and say whatever you want. So it's so interesting that, you know, their first initiative for the Creators HQ is that you can win such a big prize just from creating more content on X.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because it's driving more people towards Elon Musk. It's driving people towards X more. And just on the topic of the US in general, for our first topic of the day, Emirati billionaire Hussein Sajwani, the CEO and founder of Damac Hills, is really betting big on Trump. He really is.
So Hussein Sajwani, very old friend of Trump. That's the main idea. He was here in 2018, Trump, and he met him here. The Mac is the only builder constructor in the in the Middle East which has a Trump designated golf course. You told us the Mac Hills one. So he's a very old friend of him, and he loves the U.S. as far as I have realized after like last 3 or 4 days. So the whole story goes like he went to Mar-a-Lago for the New Year's Eve. We saw the pictures. And
Mar-a-Lago
like,
is in Florida, by the way.
Yeah, so we were like, okay, this happened. Maybe he was just there as a guest. But then like 3 or 4 days later, he was standing with Trump on the dais, announced that they'll be investing $20 billion in building 6 data centers or 8 data centers in the U.S. So that happened. And then everyone was like, where is he going to bring the money from? Because according to Bloomberg, his wealth is $13 billion. According to Forbes, his the value of his wealth is $5 billion. But everyone was like, where the money is going to come from? And then he went on an interview spree. He went to Bloomberg. Bloomberg, he told that nearly $5 to $6 billion out of this, he'll self-finance from Damac, obviously, and EdgeNex, which is the company which is handling data centers for Damac. And then the remaining amount, like 60 to 70%, since it's an asset-based investment, they're going to invest in some asset, some building, because data centers are physical buildings. So he said that will be financed by the banks. So that's a good idea, to be honest. That's a very smart business move. He's not going to take $20 billion out of the pocket, throw it in America, and be like, okay, maybe I'll get returns. He's going to take bank loans, finance it through the bank, and invest like some of the starting money from his pocket.
But you know,
so
Majid,
that's a good idea.
It is, and what I hear a lot about this is, you know, I hear a lot of people asking, why is Hussein Sajwani investing $20 billion dollars in data centers in the U.S.? You know, that's very far from the Middle East. Why is he doing it? But honestly, I think this is a very clear signal towards, you know, this entire project actually giving Hussein Sajwani a stronger hand in the U.S.
Yeah.
Because who's going to be the president of the U.S. soon? Donald Trump. Yeah. He's going to be
in just 6 days.
Exactly. he's going to be the president soon.
Yeah.
And if you have President Trump's ear,
yeah,
that will only give Sajwani more space to do more investments into the U.S. Like, you never know. We honestly might be hearing soon that Damac Hills is going to be expanding into the U.S.
Yeah.
And if you're friends with Trump, what's that going to do? Regulations, contracts, actually getting approvals, it's all going to be so much more easier.
Yeah.
So for those of you asking, like, why is he doing this? I definitely think that he's going to get something in return, especially with the fact that Trump, who is he also friends with? Elon Musk.
Yeah.
All these people, it's such a, honestly,
they're building a nexus of businessmen.
Honestly, it's such a businessman cult.
Yeah.
I really do think it is, and it's going to be so successful. But just like on the topic of the U.S. in general, you know, we all know that, you know, there is a possibility that TikTok might be banned soon.
Yeah.
So as of January 19th, there's this very increasing fear in the U.S. that TikTok might be banned. But what's so but what I found so interesting about the entire story, Majid, is the fact that, you know, Times, they released this chart And basically, what this chart was saying was that the Supreme Court had worries that through TikTok, American data would be stolen. And they had this fear because of the fact that TikTok, although they're leaders from Singapore, TikTok is actually owned by ByteDance. Yeah. And ByteDance is a Chinese company. But despite this fear that they have that the Chinese might be stealing their data, Time released this chart. And what this chart showed is that US viewers specifically actually had 82.6 million views on the Free Palestine hashtag in 2023, while I Stand With Israel only had 2 million views from US viewers. And I found that to be such an interesting perspective, Magic. Yeah. It was so interesting because of the fact of it really... it raises questions. It did raise questions. A lot of social media users speculated that the reason why TikTok might be getting banned is because of the fact that there is such increasing support from Americans for Palestine, and that they're seeing the ongoing genocide in Gaza, and they are supporting Palestinians, and that might be the reason why. And just to credit this argument more, just very recently, Biden did provide $8 billion in funding to in arms to Israel. So they provided them with more weaponry. So we can see here that Biden does support Israel, and it's actually under Biden that the bill was passed that TikTok should be banned. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot going around about TikTok.
You want to tell them about Kevin O'Leary?
Only one angle. Kevin O'Leary has pitched that he wants to buy it. There was a recent report that China may sell, I saw it in the morning, Rich sent it, that China may sell TikTok US to Elon Musk. There's reports like surfacing about that as well. So there's a whole... what do you say? A cosmos of things happening.
It's crazy.
The TikTok US is in the middle, and there's like a whole circle of stuff happening around it. So by January 19, we'll know what happens. Coming back to Sajwani, there's this interesting thing that I read that he has been a businessman who's been through so many bad times, but he's always survived because he always goes head first into challenges. And this is very interesting that I read about. I never even knew. I just thought he started the Mac Properties and the Mac Group and was successful like this. So apparently he has a habit of going big. So him going big in the US, it's a very good sign. And it will give one Emirati guy, one person, a foothold in the US. And everyone can then later build on it.
Exactly.
So that's the thing that he's doing. He's putting the first foot in front for everyone else to follow. That's going to be a great thing. Let's see how it turns out.
I think hopefully. That's an interesting perspective. Yeah. And for our second topic of the day, Abu Dhabi-based holding company, ADQ, through its subsidiary, Q Logistics Holding, has made an offer to fully acquire Aramex, the Middle East's largest courier company.
Yeah.
Now, from this story, what's so interesting is that this deal, per share, they are trying to acquire it per share for 3 dirhams.
Yeah, and the market price
really impressive, Magic.
Was 2 point something. So they're paying above market price. So basically, Aramex is listed on the Dubai financial market in Dubai. So the last price, I remember, Jan 19, it was 2 point something. And these guys, they were like, we'll offer you more than that. So yeah, go and sell us the Aramex whole system. Basically, every sovereign wealth fund in the UAE, and specifically and more like specifically in Abu Dhabi, ADQ, ADIA, Mubadala, all these guys, they're trying to get their hands on as many businesses as possible. Because the more you invest in something, the more returns you'll get. That's the basic rule of their rule of investing.
But I
so
think
Aramex
some...
is, I think Aramex, you've used Aramex? I've used it
I
once.
Have.
It's
I've
great.
Used it so much. And they're so quick. They're so smooth. When you're actually getting an order from them, they always send you a message on WhatsApp through their chat bot. And then like you confirm your location. I think it's such a smooth operation. But more than that, Majid, what I find so interesting about Aramex is that right now we know that it's headquartered in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates.
Yeah.
But the company was actually founded by Fadi Ghandour and Bill Kingston in 1982 in Amman, Jordan. Yeah. And it was actually the first Arab-based company to be listed on Nasdaq Stock Exchange. I think that's why I find the story so interesting overall.
It's not on DFM. It's on Nasdaq Dubai. Thank you for the correction. Yeah. It's on Nasdaq Dubai, not on DFM.
But that's why I find the story so interesting, Magic, because of the fact that it was founded in Jordan. And for me personally, when I see companies, you know, that come from Jordan, that come from Morocco, from Sudan, from Egypt, becoming this big to the point that they're being purchased for this much, 3 dirhams per share. Yeah. I think that's so inspiring. It is, because you know, it's like they're really expanding from their roots. Yeah. You know, they're growing.
The good
to
thing is, the money stays in the country. So one sovereign wealth fund buying a company, the money stays in there. So it's like local investment. It's like some Saudi rich venture capitalist investing in a startup. So the money stays within the country, and that's good. That shows growth. That's the main story, to be honest.
Yeah. And finally, for our last topic of the day, I will admit this is one of my favorites. So the Dubai Bling famous star Safa Siddiqui has actually joined the property firm Decisive Living as CEO and partner. And keep in mind that Decisive Living is actually a luxurious real estate developer. And what's so interesting about all of this is, let me just tell you what she went on to say on Instagram. She said, "First housewife, now CEO, I can finally announce my company Decisive Living for all things real estate. Oh, and we also do business setups and golden visas in the UAE too. I love this city so much. I want to help as many people as I can make this their home." I think what's so hilarious is she said, "First housewife, now CEO." That is so hilarious to me, Majid. But more than that, it is honestly so inspiring. When you take a look at Safa's story and how she grew up, she actually grew up in the UK. So Safa is actually Iraqi, and she grew up...
Sorry, I haven't seen Dubai Bling, so yeah, I need this. I need this 101, Safa Siddiqui 101.
No, truly, I love... I love Safa's story so much because of the fact that, you know, she grew up in the UK. You know, she actually worked, I believe she worked a corporate job. And it's just interesting to see how much she has grown in this country. By the way, when she was not famous until Dubai Bling season 1 came out. And it's so interesting because her husband, Fahad.
Yeah.
So Fahad is actually from India. And Fahad comes from an extremely wealthy family. So I think that's why it's interesting that she says, "First housewife, now CEO." And I think, honestly, with that, she made a statement. It's to say to people that, you know, I am moving out of, you know, the money that I get from my family.
And I'll do my own thing.
Exactly. And she's already, by the way, she was already doing her own thing. I'm pretty sure Dubai Bling pays her a lot. Because let me tell you, she is at the center stage of the drama. Oh. She's entertaining. Honestly, I watch Dubai Bling for her. I do. I love Safa.
Is she the lady who said that I want more rooms in my house? In the first season, I don't remember. I don't see it. My wife watches it. I just pass by and I'm like, oh, okay. I just see what's happening and I leave. So like 1 minute, 2 minutes maximum. These guys have a lot of money. I don't want to watch people with so much money. It's just that. And
really?
Also there's a lot of drama. It's just not my taste.
Majid, why don't you want to watch people with a lot of money?
It scares me. Why do they have? How do they have so much money? It actually triggers something in my brain and I'm like, okay, I should do something to get this rich as well.
Really?
I don't want that feeling in my brain. It's mostly, but I'll more of a taste thing. I like detective dramas, Sherlock, Elementary. I'm recently watching Psych. So yeah, Monk was there recently. I like that kind of thing. Investigation, deduction, all that.
But you know, Majid, for me, the reason why I find Safa so inspiring, and I find the fact that, you know, she's launched her own real estate company the same way that her best friend Zaina did in Dubai Bling. She also has a real estate company.
Someone is there.
I am the company. So it's interesting. This all to me, honestly, it's so interesting because of the fact that, again, I've said it before and I'll say it again, you become your social circle. You become your social circle. Her best friend Zaina did it. Now she's doing it too.
Yeah.
And more than that, Safa in particular, she's so inspiring because, you know, I watched this video of her before, Majid, and she was saying that, you know, as a woman, you should never rely on your husband. You should never, no,
good
seriously,
concept.
She seriously went on to say this, of that you should never rely on your husband. You should always rely on yourself and, you know, make your own money as a woman, because the second that if you are disrespected whatsoever by that man,
you can leave.
You can leave.
Yeah.
And especially like Majid, like that touches my heart so much, because especially as a Sudanese woman, you know, coming from a lineage of women whose lives were defined by the fact that they didn't have money, that they didn't work, that they weren't educated, that their husbands could actually make most of the decisions because of the fact that they didn't make money, that makes me emotional. What do you think drives me to do everything that I do? No, seriously, it's I actually grew up like that. Like, And it's funny, because what Safa was saying, it didn't even come from my mother, by the way. It came from my father. And that's why my father always told us, that's why I invested so much into your education. By the way, that was my dad's biggest investment into us. He said,
education.
I want you girls to be so, because I have a sister, Besma. Shout out to her. I love her. But my dad, he invested so much into our education so we can be like women like Safa, so we can stand our ground. And he always told us, he said, you know, you never know, you might get married and he might be crazy. So if you have your own money, you can leave. No, really, like, this is my advice.
You have this perspective. I have the same idea, but different perspective.
How?
I believe whenever me and my wife discuss jobs and everything, I always tell her that... she likes me, I think. She doesn't mind me being a nice guy or a bad guy. But if somehow, see, the financials should be divided, because what if I die? Something. Sorry, it's a very bad thing to say. But what if something happens to me, if I'm sick, if something happens? Mm. The whole line will stop. So financially, I think... And also, in this economy, it's very important that both of them work, because then you can actually enjoy quality of life. With one person's salary, if it's man, woman, I don't care, one person's salary, you can only run a house. With two people's salary, you actually enjoy life as well. You can send your kids to better schools. You can have better food. You can have better experiences. The most important thing for me is if for example, in a family where the man earns and the woman doesn't, what if something happens to that man? And I've seen that in a lot of underdeveloped countries. In the region that I come from, one man is supporting like a family of seven. Mm. And he goes sick and the whole family is now, what do we
do? Everyone is affected.
Yeah. So that's the main thing, that it should be divided. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
You know,
that's
what, Majid,
the main idea.
Honestly, it's so interesting.
So yeah, it's good to see women doing good.
It is. And you know, Majid, it's so interesting to me that you said that, you know, what if something happens to that man? And see, that's why... I have such a big amount of respect and love for my father, because he did everything on his own.
Yeah.
You know, my mother, she could never work, because she had to stay at home and support my brother because of his condition.
Yeah.
And so she never got the chance to work. And so my dad,
thankfully,
I'm getting to
he
your
did
point.
It.
He did it. Yes, I did graduate from high school, and I did my first 2 years of university.
Yeah.
But it's like the second the war hit.
Yeah.
The second that the war hit in Sudan and my dad lost his entire business, what happened to me? You know, my year in university was frozen. I can't pay my university fees. So it's funny that, you know, it's funny that you said, oh, like, I've seen this happen in a lot of underdeveloped countries.
Even in developed countries.
It happens even here in the UAE.
See,
it has happened to me. And it's like, that's exactly why I try and work as hard as I can.
Yeah.
It's... I won't lie to you. I do have that privileged mindset of I can always get married.
Yeah.
I know I do have that, but I don't go on it. No, really, I don't go on it, because Majid, like, for me, it's so emotional. Like, every single time, like, I know you might think I'm crazy for this, but every single day I come into the office and you're thinking to yourself, why does this girl have so much energy? I know you ask yourself that sometimes. Why do I have so much
Everyone
energy?
Everyone has a different energy.
When I'm doing everything. And it's like a lot of people tell me, oh, it's because you're young. That's why you have so much energy. But the reason why I have so much energy is because of this keen awareness of that, you know, I come from a lineage of women who never did much with their lives. And because of it, they were so controlled. And I want to break out of that control. I want to break out of any control that any system, any man, anything can actually place over me. And I want to be able to rely on myself.
Yeah.
And that's what Safa has done.
Yeah.
She has relied on herself. And by the way, if you watch Dubai Blink, her husband Fahd is always saying, Safa, I want you to have more children. Imagine they have this debate right there on the screen, and I'm like, y'all, like, this is a little bit private. I don't feel like we're meant to be watching this. But she basically has two little girls, and they're so beautiful. And it's like, her husband Fahd always says, oh, let's have a third boy, you know, let's have, and she just always looks at him like, I'm done here, like, I'm not doing more of this. And so it's like, Safa, I feel that she can make that decision, and she can stand on it, and she can't be forced by her husband to do anything she doesn't want to do, because guess what? She's powerful now. Yeah. She's a media star. She now owns a freaking real estate company. I mean, that's crazy. She just kept on going. Like, yeah. I love that about her.
No, women shouldn't do this. The time has come that women take over. Trust me, that's my take.
That's your take.
Men have done
Thank you,
so much bad to the world. They've done good, but they've done bad too.
We appreciate you for acknowledging
women
that.
Women should take over now. Let's see. They should run the world.
One second. I don't think that they should completely take over.
Not take over. Like, they should be... Now, they... It's not about even allowing them. We don't have the right to allow them. It's their choice, and they should take over. It's like J-Lo said, women rule the world.
See, Majid, I agree with you in a certain sense of thank you for empowering women.
Yeah.
But you know that recently we had this discussion. A report came out by the Financial Times where it's mostly in Western countries where the rate of women taking on higher scale jobs like CEO, founder, managing director has actually increased, and the rate of men working those jobs has actually gone down, and that men are more of stay-at-home husbands.
Yeah.
That is extremely concerning. I do not support the rise of that. I think it's really strange, especially as a woman in my Arab culture, seeing the way that men work. But we'll continue this discussion tomorrow. Thank you so much for watching, everyone. This is Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production under the Augustus Media Podcast Network. You can find our newsletter on Smashy TV, and you can follow us on all of our social media channels. Thank you.